to do that.
This back on then.
So having guessed that, and not with 100% certainty, mm-hmm. of why how Shockley found me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was, I didn't apply. Mm-hmm. There was no reference by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was Shockley's diligence and mm-hmm. Shockley's initiative.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a reason from Shockley's side. Shockley was running into the fact that his PhDs mm-hmm. were not acquainted with the area of chemistry, of physical organic chemistry,
mm-hmm.
that the laboratory work, the work on semiconductors, was seemingly moving into.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a large part of the work, almost all of it, was dependent on the use of organic photopolymers,
mm-hmm.
like KPR, Kodak Photoresist,
mm-hmm.
to do the patterns
mm-hmm.
of devices on silicon,
mm-hmm.
to make what we call the masks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, KPR is an organic molecule. And here are these metallurgists, physicists.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon Moore understood, because Gordon Moore is a physical chemist, and so he'd been exposed to Bob Noyce, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't his métier.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Last and Sheldon Roberts were metallurgists from MIT, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Shockley wanted to build up the background on what would come along in the case of organic materials,
mm-hmm.
an
mm-hmm.
understanding of organic materials, so we could understand the Kodak resists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Kodak had two resists at the time. The only things known at that time that would prevent HS, block HF, hydrofluoric acid,
mm-hmm.
from etching glass. Or from etching silicon, they had KPR,
mm-hmm.
Kodak photoresist,
mm-hmm.
and KMER, Kodak metal etch resist.
Hmm.
Two
yes.
photopolymers, very heavily uh-huh. High molecular weight photopolymers, photosensitive,
uh-huh.
which the industry was using for these kind of etching experiments, but always etching on metal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to etch metal things.
Uh-huh.
Shockley thought that. And rightly, he said, look, we're using wax every once in a while. We put wax dots down on silicon, and then we etch round circles of silicon out from under the dot.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we make masks out of wax?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knew anything about wax. So he went to Shell Development. He found Harry Sello. And he asked Harry Sello, do you know anything about Carnauba wax or any kind of wax that we could use for doing some etching experiments? I said, mm-hmm. no, there should be a million of them. Mm-hmm. If KPR works, we can.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the candle wax works. You're telling me you tried it. He says, yeah, but that dissolves off so fast. I said, well, there's a
mm-hmm.
there's a whole library of waxes. He said, well, could you do some work and study mm-hmm. the evaporation mm-hmm. of wax
hmm.
to make masks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was, to me, that was the... That plus other things involved
mm-hmm.
In the organic chemicals, like the washing of silicon, the
mm-hmm.
Organic material they had to use to wash off the inorganic material that mm-hmm. you wanted to mm-hmm. clean the wafers with.
Yeah.
All of that, even the acid attack on silicon. Those guys didn't know much about the existence even of aqua regia until I came to the laboratory and told me, you can etch silicon with aqua regia. It'll go a lot faster than what you're using now. Mm-hmm. The trouble is you can't use it. It's too fast. It dissolves the whole friggin' wafer. Now that, the organic influence, or the influence of other compounds,
mm-hmm.
and what we might, that was typically Shockley, though. He didn't mm-hmm. miss a thing.
Yes.
He wanted to cover all the areas of ignorance. And he thought that organic chemistry, or the relationship to organic chemistry, was not covered well enough. Mm. He was right about that.
Now, did he explain this to you in these initial phone calls you had with him, or was that once you arrived?
No.
Or what was the initial contact like?
The initial contact was an invitation to come and talk to him.
Okay.
Okay.
And he told me about who he was and mm-hmm. Just get acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
But what he didn't tell me was what I had to go through before I could be accepted, and that was 3 days of intense psychological examinations.
Wow, as he made other people do.
As he had made the others do. Yeah. And I didn't know that because I hadn't talked to them. And he didn't tell me.
Uh-huh.
And that's a story practically in itself. I mean, I came, went weekends. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go from work, so I went on Saturdays and Sundays, mm-hmm. three successive weekends, and went through a battery of psychological tests you wouldn't believe.
Where was that?
It was conducted in a hotel in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
In a suite set aside for the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There was the thematic apperception test. I don't know if you've seen that. That's a standard test.
Mm-hmm.
It's composed of a picture.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a man. Mm-hmm. In one case, a man standing alongside a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's lying on a bed, and in the distance is a wheat field.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a cap on, like he just came in from out of the wheat field.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking down at her.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to write a one-page essay on what you think he's thinking of, or what he's doing.
Okay.
You know, I couldn't believe it. What is he doing? Does he want to jump on her? I said, surely Shockley doesn't want me to say that. And there were a series. That was one picture.
Okay.
There was about a half a dozen.
Oh,
things like that, thematic apperception. And there was some Rorschachs coming out the ears. Oh, I mean, he must have just learned what the Rorschachs was. But I had no idea of the reason for those tests.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for those tests, as we probably already know, was that he did not trust the behavior of the scientists that he had already run across, or felt he had run across.
Okay.
It was a reflection of the trouble he was beginning to have with his senior scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And he not only wanted me to take those tests, but he forced them to take it too.
Mm-hmm. Again, so they
yeah.
did.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know if all of them took them. I know Noyce did, and I know Moore did. But I never did quite find out if the other guys did.
Okay.
The recent arrivals, uh-huh. I think you could ask Moore, and he'd
yeah.
say so,
uh-huh.
certainly took the test.
Okay.
And he took them himself. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I've taken this test. And I asked them, how'd you do? I thought they were just ordinary, you know,
mm-hmm.
Mental tests,
right. mm-hmm.
mental agility or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just sort of halfway kidding. He says, no, I'll tell you when you've taken the test. I won't tell you until. And there was another reason for that, too, because it would have been very tough to convince the guy if I did any better on the test than he did.
Oh.
There was that danger. I'll leave that on the record because that's something he exhibited later in a couple of other ways.
Just this competitive
the competitiveness to do better than the person, mm-hmm. no matter who he was,
mm-hmm.
at the job than he did.
Mm-hmm.
It showed up in a swimming contest, and I went with him for a swim in the afternoon at Stanford one day,
mm-hmm.
at the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, let's take a dip. And I said, I wanted to go swimming. He said, hey, I'll go along. You mind? No, not at all, Dr. Shockley. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just call me Bill. Okay, Bill, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And I can conclude with this, if you wish. He's older than I was at that time, even now. So I jumped into the pool, and I barreled like hell, and I did about. I didn't look up until I had done two lengths as fast as I could go. The third one, I slowed up a little bit. And then I completed a fourth and a fifth, and then sort of
mm-hmm.
barely got into a sixth. At the end of the sixth, I was bushed. And I looked around to see where Shockley was, and I didn't mm-hmm. see him. So I got out of the pool. I thought, you know, this is afternoon.
Yes.
I don't know why I had to show off.
Mm-hmm.
He went to 30 lengths on the pool. 30 times back and forth.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the reason he wanted to go with me. If I thought myself, he says, you call yourself a swimmer, how'd you like that?
Oh, gosh.
You know, with a smile, kind of joking, but yet underneath.
Of course, yeah.
A needle. I showed him my thesis. I showed him my work on the limits of detonation.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do when you finish the thing, I can show you if we need to. You do a ternary diagram.
Mm-hmm.
And a ternary diagram, it's like a regular binary,
mm-hmm.
but it's oxygen, hydrogen,
mm-hmm.
and the flammable molecule.
Mm-hmm.
And you can plot those on an equilateral triangle. You can plot those all on one plot. You
mm-hmm.
can't do it with more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the diagram is drawn where all the flammable limits are, and the flammable limit was an envelope within the diagram, and I showed
mm-hmm.
him that. I explained
mm-hmm.
what it showed. And he asked me, I thought he was going to ask me something about
mm-hmm.
it, and he did. He said, can you derive for me why it is that all points add up to 100% on the ternary diagram? That was the question. It had nothing to do with the work. And I had to sit there and puzzle it out for him. Why is it that all points in an equilateral triangle
mm-hmm.
add up to 100%? Well, of course, geometrically, it's symmetrical.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you draw a perpendicular through each apex,
mm-hmm.
each segment is going to add up to 100%
mm-hmm.
by congruent triangle geometry.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You know, so he started, you know, he was very polite. He started, I looked at that and I said, well, that's just the way it works. He said, well, yeah, it's the way it works, but, you know, this is plane geometry, plane
mm-hmm.
geometry, two-dimensional. Derive it. This is your thesis. This is not your thesis. It's a paper you wrote. I said, well, I didn't have to derive it in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but derive it for me.
Jeez.
And so he started me out. He drew the perpendiculars with the clue from each, bisecting each side. And now he said, you use that. So I started to stagger and fall. And I finally got through the congruent triangles.
Mm-hmm.
I proved two sides congruent, and then the third was congruent to one of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to do that three times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In order to, it had nothing to do with the work.
Absolutely.
But that was a test.
Huh. Now, he had just gotten the Nobel Prize, so you knew him from that?
I knew that. Yes, yes. I knew he'd gotten a Nobel Prize. I knew that Bratton was his... was William Bratton,
mm-hmm.
Walter Bratton's brother. In fact,
mm-hmm.
before I left Shell, I went around and talked about Bratton.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, I've got an offer to come and work with Shockley.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what do you think of it?
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, they want you to leave. You want to leave Shell and go to work with Shockley?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't answer right away. He hemmed and he hawed. And I came back later and I said, you never answered my question, Bob. What do you
mm-hmm.
think? Should I take the job? He said, well, I can direct you to a couple of people that maybe you want to talk to them. I don't think they'll advise you to take the job.
Uh-huh.
And already the word
okay.
of the incompatibility of Shockley with his staff had gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It gotten to back to Bell Telephone Laboratories, not to Walter Bratton, bless
okay.
his heart, not necessarily.
Okay.
But Bob Bratton had heard about it from Walter Bratton.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the clues why I didn't think that Shockley called on me, because I knew Bob Bratton.
Right,
Bob Bratton,
yeah.
was at Shell.
So, yeah.
Right.
But he was something less than enthusiastic about my leaving to go there.
Yeah.
Now, with your exposure to the radar work and during your stint in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you must have had gotten acquaintance with, you know, electronics.
Yes.
At least
yes.
in that pretty
at
intensively.
At least in that, yes.
Now, were you familiar with the transistor before Shockley's prize got announced?
I wasn't familiar with them. I knew that the, for example, my specialty was sonar tracking of tracking of submarines,
mm-hmm.
and I was familiar with the transistors that were in sonar equipment. These were germanium transistors because
they
had a finite life.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that they were the little amplifiers.
Okay.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't. I'd look at a thing that was as big as a pin and a little piece of tubing there, and I'd never recognize
right.
it. It was what it was there, that it was a semiconductor or anything.
Right.
I didn't even know that it was a piece of germanium.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that there was a semiconductor. I knew that there was an electrical amplifier
mm-hmm.
that was made of solid-state material. I thought it was more like a ferrite crystal. I made little crystal sets
mm-hmm.
in earlier
mm-hmm.
days,
mm-hmm.
and I tickled the crystals, the garnets,
right.
with tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seemed to have done that, and I
mm-hmm.
sent out some interesting messages to dot and dash messages. So I thought it was like a piece of garnet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I had never been acquainted with semiconductor, other than the cuprous oxide. That was the only
mm-hmm.
exposure. Well, but my attraction, I was just so flattered by the fact that a Nobel Prize winner wanted me to join his team.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Actually, if we go back to the photoresist thing, that was around, it was really around this time that the Diamond Ordnance Fuse Lab was doing some work on photoresists and photolithography, right?
It was a little earlier than
earlier
that.
Than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Diamond Fuse Lab never worked with germanium. They worked with silicon.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the earlier work on photoresist was also done with germanium.
Okay.
Because the photoresist was available. It was a commercial compound.
Okay.
But you're right, Christoph. They knew, Diamond knew more about the production use of resists.
Okay.
And we learned a lot from them.
Oh,
actually, we went there when we were trying to supply them with product, and they did some work in using resists.
So I mean, at Shell or what?
No. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. They were a customer of Fairchild. A colleague of Shockley.
Uh-huh.
Well, so we went to visit Diamond to see what they were doing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
With their semiconductor.
Okay.
And we knew that they were using photoresist.
Wow.
But. Okay. So was Bell Telephone.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And they were the Bell Telephone was the know all and be all at that time.
Okay. So that was just after you had arrived and before the eight left to go to Fairchild. Right?
Yes, not too long before they were there.
Mm-hmm.
They spent 2 years there. So did I.
Okay.
We overlapped for about 6 months.
Okay.
And when I got there and first walked into the laboratories, the Noyce and Moore took me aside and told me about the problems of Shockley.
Oh my gosh. From the very first day?
Right, from the very first day.
Wow.
They didn't want to hide it. They said, you might have some problems here. We have had some problems. They didn't know at that time that they were going to leave.
Okay.
That didn't come because a few events had to happen first.
Of course, yeah.
And I said, but he's a Nobel Prize winner. And they said, yeah, we know. This is Moore and... And Noyce, but talk to the other guys in the laboratory. The trouble was there. The incompatibility, especially with the, I'll say it flat out, especially with Jay Last, and with Sheldon Roberts a little bit, but more with Jay Last, the metallurgist, was already beginning to be visible. And I didn't know what to say, and I said, "Well, I've already accepted the job, so are you guys? I'm glad you told me, so maybe you can help me get integrated."
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they did. They were extremely helpful. They didn't mess around, and we worked on Shockley's projects. All did.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
They thought Shockley was too one-sided, and I agreed.
Mm-hmm.
As I began to learn his project.
Too one-sided with
to one device. He wanted to make one device, the four-layer diode.
Okay.
And that was the diode that was going to replace all the mechanical switches in all of the Bell telephone systems.
Mm-hmm.
All it needed was one per switch. And you couldn't make 10 that behaved the right way. That was going to be his entry into the world of semiconductor.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we never worked on germanium. Germanium never entered Shockley Laboratories. It was silicon.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we should pause here, and then next time we'll return back to the opening
to
of the Shockley story and continue.
Good. That's a good
Let me
start.
Just switch this off.
That's quite a long tape now, yeah.
Well, what's
are you going to work it over first, or
what I'll do is
it's up to you. Yeah.
I will send this recording out to get transcribed. And hopefully we'll have at least the raw transcript back before we next meet. The transcription doesn't take that long.
Oh, okay.
It's
good.
That's a pretty
good
thing.
I'll be able to use a lot of that for my little family stories.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm sure my dad would have loved to hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that one fellow I interviewed, oh my gosh, I didn't